Today's scripture reading starts with Luke 9, 57 to 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." John 6, 26 to 27. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval."
Thanks, Mike. Jordan and I had the opportunity recently to join a gym. It's a brand new gym, has some really nice equipment. So on some of this equipment, ellipticals and bike equipment and stuff, they have a touchscreen console that is kind of like a miniature television set. And on this console, you have lots of different opportunities to engage with the console and with the programs. You can watch video on demand. You can listen to music if you'd like to. You can even watch live TV if you want to watch sports or you want to watch a news program. But they also have on the screen, on the console, they have pre-programmed workouts, interactive screens where you can select your workout and the coach will coach you through it. One of the things that I like to do is some of the interactive walking or hiking. I can select rolling hills or a stroll or a walk through the forest. You can do mountain hikes and mountain peaks. In fact, there's two titles that are kind of cute. The one title is Spot the Goat. You put your selections in there, and you can interact with the console, and it will let you hike up the mountain. All the time, you're looking around to see if you can find the mountain goat. I have not yet found the mountain goat. I guess I probably got to go more than 20 minutes into the program to get to that point. There's Razor's Edge, which is hiking along the side of a really high mountain in France. So with the push of a few buttons, the touchscreen selections, I can be transported from here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, to a mountain in France. I could, with a few buttons, I can start climbing up. I don't even have to buy an airline ticket. No airline ticket, no passport is needed. You just enter a couple buttons. And without hardly any work, in fact, if the program is a little bit too hard, you just push the button. Just go down and you can just make it really easy. I can be climbing up Mount Everest and make it really easy. I don't know why it's so difficult and they need to prepare for months and years. And why they need oxygen, just push the button down, make it easier. I don't get it. So anyway, with the programs on these machines, you enter in, you go as long as you want to. Some of the programs are set up to run 40 minutes or 60 minutes or something. But you can get on there, you can interact, you can climb, you can hike, you can bike for however long you want, 5, 10, 20 minutes, and then hit done. With the push of a button, you're done. Phew! I went as far as I want to go. I don't have to turn around and walk back out. I just push the button, done. Step off the machine, and I can go back home. Now, there's a big difference. Joan and I actually do real hiking. We, at times, multiple times over the summer especially, we'll get out and we'll get on trails or go up to Big Oven Knob or someplace out in Delaware or Pennsylvania. You just go hiking. It's a huge difference. If you're hiking Pinnacle out in Hamburg, first of all, you gotta get your backpack ready to go. You gotta get your water bottles. We typically put water in the freezer the night before, freeze half our bottles so that while we're out there on the trail, you don't go halfway into the trail and hit done. And say, you know what, that's good, I'm done. Hit the done button, get back in the car, go home. No. If you're going for real hiking, you better take your granola bars, your Italian lunches and dinners, your spaghettis, you take real food. You take real water. Because there's a huge difference between what you can do with the interactive screen, the virtual screen in the gym, versus the reality of if you're doing this thing for real. Virtual, everybody get it, right? There's a difference between the virtual experience and the real experience. That's true, though, when it comes to things in our Christian walk as well. The question that I want to put before you today, and it really struck me this week as I went into the gym, pushed all my buttons and got on there, and I'm on the machine and I'm doing my exercise, and I find that even though the screen is displaying the mountainside and I'm supposed to be looking for the goat and I'm supposed to be stepping over the rocks, I find myself, even though I'm going through the motions, I'm like looking around, seeing what everyone else is doing at the gym. I'm watching up on the TV screen up there. I'm looking down below to see what people are doing on the weights. Even though the screen is right there playing in front of me, I find that I don't have to fully be immersed. I don't have to be fully engaged in the program that I'm supposed to be following. And it just struck me today, or this past week, as I was doing this just one more time, that there is a possibility, and in fact, I would say more than a possibility, I'd say it's more of a probability, that as we go through life, our experience, the way that we walk out our Christianity, this new life that Christ has called us to, I'm guessing it probably more often than we would like to admit, probably falls more into the virtual reality experience than it does into the real experience. What do I mean by that? Well, like I said before, with the virtual reality, I get to choose. When am I going to step on it? I get to choose how hard I want it to be. I get to choose how intent, how focused I want to be on the program. I get to choose when I'm done. I get to choose how much exertion I want to give this and when I want to back off. I get all of those opportunities. As opposed to the reality, if I'm in the real thing, the real hike, the only choice I have, other than preparing a little bit for it, is what time are we leaving? In fact, in one sense, we don't really have a whole lot of say over what time we're finishing. We have more of a say in what time we're starting. But we can't decide how steep the path's going to be. We can't decide how many rocks are going to be in the way. We can't choose where the water will be on those paths. All of that has been planned out ahead of time. We simply get to choose, are we going to do this all the way or not? And the passage that Mike read for us this morning really puts in front of us one more time the call that Jesus has on our life. All throughout that passage, as Mike read it for us, it leads up to the place where Jesus makes this statement. He says, no one who starts out in this way, in this path, in this walk, and then turns around to look what they're leaving behind, to look around to see what they're missing. Anyone who is not completely sold out, given over to the walk that Jesus has called us to, Jesus makes this declaration. He says, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And I want to one more time challenge us to look at our own life and ask ourselves, what are we pursuing in this Christian walk? What do the decisions that we're making day by day say about how intent we are, how committed we are to walking through the reality of the call Jesus has put through in front of us versus kind of the virtual reality. There are places in Scripture that I was thinking about meditating on this past week. I thought about Psalm 84, verse 2, where it says, David writing, he says, my soul longs for, yearns, cries out, even faints for the courts of the Lord, the presence of God. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Now, you hear that. I heard it. And I have to really put myself, that, in one sense, is the call that God wants us to run after. That's the hike that he's asking us, will you walk in this way? And I have to decide, and you have to decide, am I truly walking in a way that I can make that declaration that everything inside me hungers after, thirsts after, yearns for God more than anything else? That there's no place I'd rather be than in his presence and in his courts. Can I, without doubt, without hedging, without any caveats, can I say that is the goal of my life? Psalm 42, verses 1 to 6, David again speaking says, as the heart, as the deer in the midst of his life, in the midst of doing what God's called him to do, as he seeks after the streams of flowing water, more than anything else, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. Can I say that that's true of my own life? Can you say that that's true? That your heart, that your soul hungers, thirsts for God above anything else? I guess in one way we can answer that by reminding ourselves of the question that Jesus spoke to the disciples of John the Baptist who one day encountered him on the way. They come up behind him after John having pointed out Jesus. Jesus turns to them and he says, what is it that you seek? And I guess after we would consider that question, what is it that we're seeking? What kind of a walk, what kind of a connection, what kind of a relationship with God are we truly after? I guess we could also ask the question, why? As Mike, in the second portion of the scripture he read this morning from the book of John, Jesus, seeing the crowds following after him, he says, you know what, guys? He says, the only reason you're seeking after me is because you ate the bread. Because I gave you something that filled your belly. And just prior to that, in John 6, verse 2, he says, well, you're only following me because of the miracles you saw. And so, when you answer the question, why are you following God, Jesus? What is the catalyst? What is the motivation behind why you're walking with Jesus? I guess that would fit into how we would be able to answer how closely our actual walk reflects the one that Jesus has called us to. Are we seeking after him because of the miracles that he does? Are we seeking after him because of his provision, the things he can give us? Are we seeking after him because his hand is full of good stuff? Are we seeking after him only because we need his help for a problem we're facing, or we need to be rescued from hell? Are we seeking after him simply because we need to be healed? Are we seeking after him because he's paying our rent, or we need him to pay our rent? If those are the motivations behind what we're seeking, then we will come just long enough to get the thing we're after. And if he doesn't respond with giving us the thing like a gumball machine or an ATM, you press in the buttons and you expect to get something out. If we come to Jesus out of those motivations, and he doesn't respond to give us what we want, then we will be like so many people, even in the day of Jesus, where they turned around and they went home. Is that what we're seeking after? Or are we truly seeking after his presence? And I'm not talking with the T on the end, like Christmas presents. I'm talking about his fellowship. Are we seeking after knowing him intimately as a person? Are we seeking after his glory? In the passage that Mike read for us out of John chapter 9, verse 57, someone says to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And sometimes I find myself making that declaration. No problem, Lord. Wherever you go, I'm going to be there. And Jesus' response back to them was something along the lines, well, my journey is not to a place or to a position. I'm not going to a place or to a position, seeking after a position. In fact, he says, I don't even have a place to lay down my head. So if you come up along Jesus and he says, you know what, I don't have a particular location that I'm going to, and I'm not after a position on this earth, you would have to ask yourself, well, then why would I go with you anywhere? If we're not going someplace, why would I go? You know, someone that you love calls you up in the morning and says, hey, I want to take a ride to Lancaster, or something, you can understand what that ride would be like. We're going to go to Lancaster, hour and 45 minutes, and come on back. You understand what it is to go someplace. But if they said to you, I just want to go for a ride, you want to go along? Your question might be, well, where are we going? And they'd say, no place. I just want to ride along with you. I just want you to be with me in the car. I want to just spend time with you. I want to get to know you. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you're going to follow after me, if you're going to come after me, it's not because we're going to get to some place, even though he promises that we'll be with him in paradise, we'll be with him in heaven. But he's more interested in, well, are you willing to go with me on the ride? Are you interested in walking with me day by day? Will you spend time in fellowship with me? Can we talk? Can we get to know each other? Can I share my heart with you? Can I share my goals with you? Can I share my dreams with you? And so when the follower comes up to Jesus and says, Lord, I'll go with you anywhere, Jesus says, well, I'm not going anywhere. Are you still going to go with me? And so, my brothers and sisters, one of the questions I would put is when Jesus says, we're not going anywhere specifically. We're just going. Are you still willing to sign up? Are you still willing to give up all the other options to spend time with him in his presence? Another one, in another encounter in the same passage, Jesus says, basically, in two different ways, he says, well, unless, if you're so content or intent in clinging to the things or even the very people of this world more so than me, if you're unwilling to release your grip on them and the things of this world, again, you have no place in the kingdom. Because you know what? Jesus does not want to be your number one priority. Jesus wants to be your only priority. He doesn't want to be at the top of your to-do list. He wants to be the list. And so many times we keep him kind of in the top. He's in the top tier someplace, at least for 10 minutes out of the day. Jesus is like, no, I want you to get rid of the list. I want your only focus to be me, walking with me, learning of me, clinging to me. And then at the end of that passage that Mike read, Jesus says in verse 62, no one after putting his hand to the plow, no one who has engaged in the work, in working in my fields, seeking that what I'm interested in, the fields that I'm working, the crop that I'm after, no one that engages in that work But like me on the treadmill or on the elliptical looking around, Jesus doesn't want you looking around at all the other things you could do or what everybody else is doing. Jesus wants us to be sold out. Our only heart, the only focus of our hearts to be Him. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. But he also, there's a word in there that we tend to skip over, and I intentionally did it even now, and I'm going to put it back in as I restate what he said. If anyone would come after him, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. In Jesus' mind, first of all, there's a call on our lives. You know, picking up a cross is not carrying something that is given to you. When we talk about carrying our cross, it's not because, oh, God has seen fit to give me an illness and I'm just going to bear it well. Or God has seen fit to keep me poor. Or God has seen fit to make me rich. Those are not the cross that we're talking about. We're not talking about carrying something that was handed to you. We're talking about a deliberate choice to crucify, to put to death all your own desires, all your own interests, all your own goals, all your own pursuits. To give those things up intentionally by choice. Picking up a life of dying. Jesus has called you and me to daily, every single day. Not once when you come to a church and you raise your hand and pray the sinner's prayer, whatever that happens to be. We're not talking about one time saying, Lord Jesus, yes, I want you in my heart and life. We're talking about a lifestyle where every moment of every day you are choosing to set aside your own goals, your own wants, your own desires, your own pursuits, setting them aside and willingly choosing to walk with Jesus where he's going, what he's after, what he's doing, entering in and putting your hand side by side with his on the plow, putting your hand to the task, to the work that Jesus Christ himself is doing in building the kingdom of God. Jesus says, if you engage in this and your heart is so distracted, your attention is everywhere else, if I'm just a portion of your day, you're missing the whole thing. Many years ago, I'm guessing maybe 30, there was a kid's, anyone ever hear claymation? Remember claymation? Before all the graphic capabilities that we have, claymation. Years ago, maybe it was in the 70s or 80s, there was a kid's claymation movie called Who-mania. Who-mania. And it's about this little boy that puts his game piece on a board and gets sucked into the game and becomes part of the game. And his goal before it was to get to Mount Wisdom by the time the timer goes off. And he starts off, and all along the way, he finds distractions. Things that turn him aside, turn him left and to the right, make him leave the path of wisdom. Eating all the delights of the world, wasting his time away. Until in the last moments, he hears the alarm going off, and suddenly he's trying to play catch-up and get to the final goal before the alarm stops. Sometimes that's the way that we live our life. Yeah, we know we're on the path. We know where we're supposed to get. And we have an interest in getting there. But it's not an all-consuming, one thing only desire that we carry in our hearts. Jesus was at the height of his ministry, having just fed the 5,000, where he challenged them and he said, you know what, guys? You're only following me because of all the cool stuff, all the good stuff. He says, and I really don't want it. And then he goes into a discourse right after that, and he says, I am the bread of life. It is me that must be your sustenance, that you must be nourished on day by day. I am the only thing that matters to your life. And as he makes that declaration, it says in John 6, verse 66, he said, and having explained this, expounded on it, teaching how much he has got to be the food of our life. John 6, verse 66 said, many withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. This was getting, it had gotten to the place where the call he was putting out was too much, too real. And so they reached up and they pushed, done. I'm done. That's good. I'm out of here. Like the virtual hike on the machine in the gym. Oh, by the way, those machines at our gym are called Precor. That's the manufacturer. So if you're wondering about the title of today's message, it comes from that machine. Precor Christianity. Jesus' call to walk with me had many that instead of continuing to walk with him, walked away. When Jesus said, follow me, walk with me, do what I do, cut off everything else of this world, die daily, Jesus meant in every circumstance, seek after the heart of God. Seek to spill of his grace and of his goodness, of his truth, of his forgiveness, to lay down your life for the good of others. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, he said, the call on our hearts, on our lives, is that we might be perfect. And that doesn't mean that you do everything without a mistake. The word perfect, as it's used there, means unified, one, whole. It means that everything about your heart, about your life, about my heart, my life, needs to be focused, means to be unified, means to be wrapped up on one thing, not many. Jesus' intent was that our heart would be unified, made whole, integrated in our pursuit after the things of God, that we might choose him, that we might choose his kingdom above all else. It tells us in Matthew 22, as Jesus is speaking about the parable of the wedding feast, he speaks about a feast that's all ready to go. The head of the household, having killed the fatted calf and set out the tables, everything in its place, everything ready. And now he sends out word by his servants to call in, to bring in all of those that were invited to the wedding feast. It says in Matthew 22, verse 3, it says, and he sent out his servants to call those that were invited, but they were unwilling to come. Verse 5 goes even further. It says, they paid no attention to the message they heard and went on their way, giving their attention to their own interests and business. Jesus spoke that as a learning or teaching story for you and for me to help us understand in ways that make sense to our mind that you and I have been called to something awesome, something that the master of the universe has been preparing and for throughout all of time. But the question is, will we respond to the call, and how fully? Because even though the parable in Matthew 22 starts out that way, later on it tells us when those that were invited refused to come. It says the message went out to others, and they did come. But later on it says, but some were inappropriately dressed. They were there, but they weren't dressed right. Here's where I want to wrap up and bring this to a point. You and I, day by day, have to decide, are we going to live out pre-core Christianity? Is our response to this message that has been on the heart of God throughout all of eternity the only, you know, we don't have, God didn't write three or four different Bibles and says, well, if you're interested in eternal life, read Bible 1. If you're interested in how to succeed in life on this earth, read Bible 2. He didn't have multiple Bibles. He gave us one. And there's a unified message in this about who he is, his majesty, his sovereignty, his worthiness. But you and I are so frequently like those that hear that we've been invited to come to the wedding, but we give our attention to our own business and our own interests before him, or are willing to follow as long as he meets our needs, gives us the healing that we need, helps us when we're troubled. But if I could circle us back around to the message that came forth when Mike read the passage, God doesn't want us to have a virtual Christian experience that starts out, we program what we want, how long we want to do it, and when we're going to be done. That's pre-core Christianity. Jesus says, the call I'm putting to you is to turn your back on your very life, your own interests, your own wants, your own desires. Even people that you love, that's a tough one. I mean, I have a family, I have friends that I love. And Jesus says, if you put them before me, you're not worthy of the kingdom. That's some hard words. And so I, as I'm on the exercise machine, thinking about this, decided, you know what, you're going to get on the exercise machine with me, or you're going to go on the hike. We're going to decide together. Are we going on the virtual hike with Jesus Christ, where we choose when and where to get off? Or are we going to enter in to the real hike, the real walk? Colossians chapter 3, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, starts out and it says, now, because of all these things, with your mind, with your understanding of all these things, it says, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated. And it then tells us the things of the old life that we're to take off and the new life that we're to put on. My brothers and sisters, how dedicated are you to understanding what this call is and then walking it out? Because if walking with Jesus is something you do occasionally, if the sum of your experience with God is a few moments here and there when you pray before you have your meal, or what you experience or don't in a church service on a Sunday morning, if that is the extent of your Christianity, I'm going to use Jesus' words and lift them up and place them right here. You or I, anyone living that kind of life is not fit for the kingdom. So, if I could ask you to just examine your own hearts and your own life, let's bow our hearts and just go before the Lord. In fact, I'm going to ask you to stand if you would. This particular service is not going to end with an upbeat song. We're not going to go out of here with hands clapping. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring you to what is, I hope, is a very sobering place.